Good morning. What a marvelous way to begin my celebration of 35 years of ordained ministry and my 65th birthday. I want to congratulate a few very devious people, especially Colin Welford and Diane Kirkland, who, although the pastor is around 24/7 now, managed to pull this off. I'll deal with them later. But it's so good to see you today, and I hope that this service is a blessing to you. Let us begin our worship by singing our opening hymn, In the Morning When I Rise.
Word for the week is taken from Psalm 119, verse 132. God, turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom toward those who love your name.
That point of the service where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports, so grateful for 35 years, so grateful that God has granted me 65 years of life. So grateful for the friends who are gathered today and for the love that surrounds me. We want to remember in our prayers today our friend Kathleen and her family. Her mom is in hospice care, and we ask that you pray for her and her mom, Marion. We want to remember young Jaden Michael in our prayers, the family of Jordan, Dean, and all those families and people who are in crisis today. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful to be here in your presence. We're so grateful for the creativity and the love that has brought this day together. We're so grateful that we have stood on the shoulders of many throughout the generations to be here this day. And we ask that you would continue to bless our work. We would remember in our prayers Kathleen and her family, and especially Marion, as she takes her final journey. Would you give to her your peace and your gracious presence? For Jaden Michael, friend of little children, keep, guard, and bless that young life. As Jordan's family comes to terms with his death, we ask that you would be with them, that you would grant them your strength, that you would be with Dean as he undergoes treatments, that all those who are in distress today, that all those who are in crisis may know that underneath them are the everlasting arms. We pray all these mercies in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What a joy. What a privilege to be with you here this morning. And good morning, Don.
Well, thank you,
Paul. You're very welcome. It is an honor to be with you on this very, very significant occasion. Ordination celebration and birthday all wrapped up into one. It couldn't get any better. So good to be with you. As a faith community, all of us are called by God to ministry, to use our gifts and our abilities in God's service wherever we may find ourselves. And in particular, some are called to ordain ministry. And Dawn, I'm wondering what that call was like for you. Now, in 1 Samuel, the voice of God spoke, Samuel, Samuel. Now, eventually, Samuel realized it was the Lord speaking. And his response, Lord, speak, for I am listening. Now, Jonah, on the other hand, was called by God to go to the city of Nineveh to preach a very different message, to tell the city how evil it was and that they needed to change their ways. And his response, well, Jonah ran in the opposite direction. And he ran and he ran until some things happened that he finally turned and accepted that call and did go to Nineveh to speak the word of the Lord. Two women of the New Testament, Priscilla and Chloe, were called by God to host meetings in their houses, gathering the believers in their homes. And further, they were affirmed by the Apostle Paul. Now, Dawn, was your call like any of those mentioned, or maybe a combination?
Combination.
Okay. I hope that sometime in the midst of all this gathering,
you'll have opportunity to describe what your calling was like. But let it be said, you heard, you prepared yourself, and you were ordained into the ministry of the Moravian Church, if my figures are correct, on July the 28th, 1985. 21st. Corrected. Where your ordaining bishop was, and I don't think I have this wrong, the late Stanley Thomas, one of the most beautiful people I have ever met. It was but back in the early 1970s when the very first woman was ordained in our church, the late Mary Matz. But there were women in ministry long before who could have and probably should have been ordained. But because of the practices of the time, weren't. One was Dr. Varda Schwager, and the other was a woman that Joyce Gerdman and I called Aunt Florence. Florence Halpert Samuelson. She was sent by the Western District to the Moravian Church in Daggett, located across the water, not that many miles, with the direction to close the congregation. She revived it, and it exists to this day in ministry and service. So you, Dawn, are in good company. You stand in a long line of women who have heard and responded to God's call, were ordained, who serve our church with distinction, all in the name and the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you have not been alone in this ministry. We must acknowledge one who has stood alongside you, behind you, but always with you, husband Bob. And then son Rob comes to complete the family. So to Bob and Rob, I think you need to receive the affirmation of this gathered community. I speak in behalf of the Moravian Church in North America in saying we are grateful for your 35 years of service. We stand with your family, with your congregation, and the surrounding community in celebrating your considerable gifts and contributions that have been a blessing to us all. We hold you and your ministry here at Ephraim in our prayers for the years of service ahead, as you will focus on the challenges Jesus gives us in ministries of reconciliation, justice, and racial equality to truly and fully love one another. Dawn, under more usual circumstances, I'd come down and greet you with a hug. But that will have to wait for another time. Meanwhile, and these days are filled with all kinds of meanwhiles, my heart goes out to you in gratitude for the privilege of having served with you and continuing to serve with you in the partnership of the gospel in the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now,
connected to Mike Bitterman's iMac. trees and scrapes no knees. She ain't a country girl.
She's not our type, but she came with hype, so we gave her a whirl.
And for 40 years we've trained her up, and none could call her shabby.
Though still she won't stop singing in the Abbey. She's no Girl Scout, she lays it out. She's not a shrinking violet.
When times are hard, she leads the charge, no automatic pilot.
And though she makes us wear a mask, we hope you'll hear us say that Dawn is quite an asset to the Abbey.
I'd like to say a word on her behalf.
Then say it, Sister Katie Catherine Kelly Carmeline.
The pastor makes me laugh.
How do we solve a problem such as Dawn here? How do we catch a clown and pin it down? How did it come to be that she was drawn here?
To this liberty trip at this will of the whiskey's clowns.
Many a decade more we'd like to keep her. Get her to sign and throw away the key.
So how do we make her stay to inspire us every day?
How do you catch a wave that's on the sea?
Oh, how do you solve a problem such as Dawn here? How do you keep a wave upon the sand? Oh, how do we keep a problem such as Dawn here? When I'm with her, I'm confused, out of focus, and bemused by her accent, 'cause it's totally New York.
Unpredictable as weather, she's as flighty as a feather, she's a duckling.
She's a swan. No, she's a hawk.
She'd outpast her any pest,
drive a hornet from her nest. She would throw a whirling dervish out of whirl. She is gentle, she is wild,
she's a child.
She's a tough as nails, don't cross me, city girl. How do you solve a problem such as Dawn here? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down?
She's the one who shows the strength of Dawn here.
She's the one to whom we give the crown. 65 more years we'd like to keep her. Above the ground or underneath the sun.
So how do you make her stay to inspire us every day? Knowing she's a precious gift from God.
Oh, how do you solve a problem like Dawn Morgan? How do you keep a wave upon the sand? Oh, how do we keep a problem like Dawn Bobby? How do you hold a moonbeam in
How do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? The question posed by those lyrical words from The Sound of Music feel appropriate for this moment as we celebrate the Lord's gift to us, Pastor Dawn Volpe, and commemorate her ordination into the Moravian Church of North America 35 years ago. How can we adequately sum up what Pastor Dawn has meant to us for the past decade? Like a moonbeam, she landed at our doorstep, with the glorious intensity and shining light of the Holy Spirit. The Lord knew better than we just what our church needed. Pastor Dawn has stretched us spiritually through her direct and powerful sermons, her thorough and challenging Bible studies, and passionate encouragement in opening our eyes to social issues and toward expanding mission outreach. Under her leadership, the increased presence of young families with children has brought joy and strength to our congregation. The unique doxology services held before the summer setting sun have strengthened liaisons with our greater Christian community. Pastor Dawn has walked beside us in times of joy, deep sorrow and loss, lifting us up by just the right words at times when we needed it most. And her lyrical voice, often in the midst of prayers, bringing tears to our eyes. Under Pastor Dawn's pastorate, we have dug deeper, stretched further, and realized anew God's great love and provision for us as his beloved children. And so, on this important day, the joint board of the Ephraim Moravian Church and the entire congregation have this presentation for you, which reads, in grateful appreciation to Pastor Dawn Volpe, on this 35th anniversary of her ordination into the Moravian Church of North America, we celebrate the true gift she has been to our congregation. Under Pastor Dawn's pastorate, we have dug deeper, stretched further, and realized anew God's great love and provision for us as his beloved children. We thank her for her spiritual guidance, her passionate leadership, and her life lived with integrity, by example, and through ministry on how to be faithful followers of Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Our reflection this morning is written by Reverend Corey Kemp. Today is indeed a harvest of joy, celebrating 65 years of well-lived life and 35 years of ordained ministry with our beloved Pastor Dawn. Blessed days like these are meant to be savored and cherished. Who knew that a New York accent would blend so beautifully with customs and traditions in a small Wisconsin village? God did, apparently. Dawn's faith guided her to follow God's voice, and we are all the richer for their mutual agreement. Proclaiming the message of God's mercy, justice, and salvation, being persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, is challenging. Convincing, rebuking, encouraging, with the utmost patience and teaching, is not easy work. It is not for the faint-hearted. The Apostle Paul knew this from his own experience. In addressing his letter to Timothy as his beloved child, he acknowledges the difficulties, the suffering, and the tears that come with the work. But then Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and love and of self-discipline. Living a faithful life, following the call to ministry, wherever it leads you, often comes with more than you thought you had bargained for. But for each well-lived life, there is a community, a village from which that life came and is still supported, a place of God's design and promise. To make it happen, because it takes a village, to bring us to the village in which we belong. Our old scripture lesson is taken from Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortress of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the desert. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seeds for sowing, can come back home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Our New Testament lesson is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers at night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a power of love and self-discipline. In the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, convince, rebuke, and encourage with utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Please join us in singing How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When you get to a big anniversary, there's the danger of reminiscing, so I will reminisce. And I need to reminisce about 10 years ago, because that's when I was called to this church. And one of the reasons I asked Paul Flottman to be my lay reader was he was the very first person I spoke to at Ephraim. He was the liaison between the board, and he mostly texted me or wrote emails to me about things that I was to expect when I came for the interview. Well, as we were emailing back and forth, he asked if they could receive a recording of a sermon of mine. And I responded saying, well, I don't usually do that. And what he picked up from that was, she doesn't preach sermons. And so I get this frantic email about a day later where he had called all the rest of the board. And of course, in typical Wisconsin hospitality, rather than saying, we don't want you if you don't preach, he said, well, we'll try to work with you. And I realized that there was a great misunderstanding. So instead of writing back, I decided I needed to meet this person at least over the phone. So I picked up the phone, and in my broadest New York accent, I said, Paul, this is Dawn, and we have a misunderstanding. Of course I preach. And since I've been here, the congregation knows not only do I preach on Sunday from this venue, but if they're not careful, I'll preach to them over coffee. I'll preach to them on a casual lunch. If they are called and I say, why don't we go out to eat? They know they're in trouble and they're going to get a sermon. Early on, when folks would call or I'd call them and they hadn't been in church, silly people would say to me, oh, I missed hearing you preach. And I'd say, that's okay. You'll hear it now. So I love to preach. But in reminiscing, in reflecting, it's not a matter of just thinking about what happened in the past, but how we can learn from it. And what I learned from that incident with Paul so many years ago is that my New York and your Wisconsin might not always speak the same language. And I need to be careful how I speak, and I need to think about that. It's wonderful to reminisce. And one of the other dangers of reminiscing is sometimes we can get stuck in the past. But the past is not there for us to get stuck in. The past is there so that we can learn from it, regroup now, and then move forward. And that's why I had the readings today with Paul and his young friend Timothy, because that's exactly what they were doing. You remember the story of Timothy. His mentor was the great Apostle Paul, and I am sure he had a wonderful time visiting with Paul and ministering with Paul, and as Paul would go around to different areas and start churches and had powerful sermons, Timothy was right there with him, and it must have been a very heady experience for Timothy once Paul said to him, you're going to be ordained in the ministry, and he did that by laying his hands on Timothy and conferring all the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit onto Timothy. Oh, that must have been a wonderful thing. But then a lot of things changed for Timothy. His mentor, Paul, was in prison. And rather than going from place to place in a very exciting ministry, he was stuck in one place. And he was trying so hard to figure out where he fit in. And so Paul wrote him a letter. And he said, I've seen your tears. but I want to tell you something. You remember that you have a wonderful heritage. You remember the faith of your grandmother and your mother. And you remember me laying my hands on you. That's all reflection. That's all reminiscing. He said, but I want you to do something. What I want you to do now is regroup. I want you to light a fire and rekindle that gift that you were given. The ministry remains the same. It might look a little different, but your gifts are still there. Stir them up. Rekindle them. And of course, isn't that what Paul had to do? He had gone from place to place. He was a tremendous evangelist and church builder. And then he was thrown in prison. And what did he do in prison? Did he say, well, I had a good run, but that's all over now. Let me sit back and rot. Of course not. He picked up parchment and pen. And he decided since he could not be there in person, he would write letters of encouragement. And that's how we have most of our New Testament today. We don't know about his great sermons. We only know what we read. And what we read is tremendous. He reflected and he regrouped and he moved forward. And that's the challenge that we have in front of us today, to reflect on the past, to regroup for the present, and to move forward. I'm so thrilled that there are members of Northern Sky here today, and people who sing so beautifully. And I want to ask you a question. I know that the place is closed. I know that the way you have to do business is different. But has the music stopped? Of course it hasn't. And some who were here today have become sidewalk minstrels. And they have found ways to stir up the gift of God that has been given to them and to move forward. We might have to change our tactics. We might have to change our style. But the gifts remain the same. And you who are listening to me, if you feel like you've been put on a shelf, if you feel like all the means that you've had before have changed, it does not mean that God has changed. Yes, we reflect on that past, and we might look back with nostalgia, but God wants us to regroup and move forward. And why do we move forward? We move forward because this world needs us. We move forward so that we can heal the sick, so that we can raise the dead, so that we can be God's people in a difficult time. And we do it because we know that God, as Paul says, gives us power and love and a sound mind. So, my dear friends, my challenge for you is this. Things might be different, but God has not changed. God is still powerful. God has put that power of the Holy Spirit within you. Stir it up and let us move forward to a joyful and hopeful future. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful as we reminisce. And we think of the many ways in which you have led us to this moment. We are grateful. We are grateful for the winds of the Spirit that stir within us today. And we are grateful for the power that you will give us to move forward into a beautiful future. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The doors are locked. Does it not say that this is the church of the open door? and yet the doors are locked. How is it that you expect to fill these pews with the doors being locked? I'm the Reverend J.J. Groenfeld, and I came here today to find this young, rebellious, outrageous Pastor Volpe, wishing, said many times that she's wished to break my record of servitude to this church. Where might, is that you? The look of surprise on your face tells me you must think that maybe it would have been better if the Trinity Choir had showed up. You look so surprised. This is such an outrage. You know, when I was a member of this church back in 1864 to 1883, I did not have to stand on hymnals to see over the pulpit. I'm telling you, you are never going to fill this church, and you probably will not break my record. And I hear tell that you let people call you by your first name. Is that disrespectful? Pastor Dawn? Pastor Dawn? Is that some kind of a Scandinavian, Norwegian, or UP accent? What is one to think? I'm told that you do not bake so much as beans. How is it that you expect ever to learn to bake Moravian sugar cake? You leave that to your husband, Bob, Mr. Bob, to do all the cooking. Do you realize that eating fish sticks from a box is not quite like going to a Door County fish boil?
It's better.
I'm told the church is always cold, because you're always hot. Your sermons are short, and you refer to your son as the kid or the boy. That's an outrage. You know, just moments ago, the UU church was here, and they were looking for a misplaced soprano. I'm also told that you let Lutheran ministers take your pulpit. Heavens, we all know what those Lutherans did. They hijacked the Reformation from Brother Huss. And yet you let them do that. That's just scandalous. And when Brother Wiborg, prior to his deer hunt, requested passage, prayers for his safe passage, I am told you prayed for the deer. Even your best sermons only last 10 minutes. And yet you're seen parading around this village with a sweatshirt that says Sermonator. How boastful. How do you ever expect to exceed my record? And maybe the most scandalous thing you've ever done is introduce secular music into this church. And I am also told that on your first sermon here in this church, you let Robert, your son, aka the kid, play a prelude from Star Wars. Star Wars! How outrageous is that? Even now, your new organist, yes, the one with the hole in his sock, I'm told he has a reputation in New York and Chicago as being a wicked man. You let him come in and play secular music. You know, Pastor Iverson built this church in 1853. I moved it up the hill in 1864. Those were very large accomplishments. And I am wondering what it is you expect to accomplish to let these Christians these brothers and sisters continue to keep you in the pulpit? What legacy will you leave? Pastor Don, I know I represent the congregation when I say, and your friends from all over the world, we will have you in the pulpit as long as we might. And if we can change the retirement requirements, we will do that too. We all know in our hearts the many ways you have changed this church. You have moved us. We have grown with you. And on many occasions, Christmas in particular, you have filled these pews to well over capacity, much to the chagrin of the fire department. You have enriched our lives. You have laughed with us. You have cried with us in these 35 years since your ordination. May the force in the flock always be with you, and may God bless you and Mr. Bob for keeping you fed and as feisty as ever. Let me come forward and present this to you. On behalf of this congregation and your friends throughout the world, we give you this gift. Thank you so much for all your service. And one more thing. You mentioned in your music, you talk about Katie the doll. Isn't that disrespectful? Isn't that sexist?